Tonight's Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, September the 30th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris, and I can't find my keys.
So that's interesting.
We'll work on that in a moment. Good morning. Welcome into the program. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield with you, and we got a good show on tap. We're going to tell you all about it. Right now, we're going to go ahead and play some Nick Saban. Coach Saban spoke to the Quarterback Club yesterday morning over in Birmingham. And, of course, he'll be here for College Game Day. We'll tell you about the show and the sponsors. But let's go ahead and run Nick Saban from yesterday morning, speaking to the media, ahead of his appearance at the Monday Birmingham Morning Quarterback Club.
How's everybody doing? The one thing I miss about coaching is you all. Seeing you every week. You know, this is always an occasion that we look forward to. You know, Monday Morning Quarterback Club does a lot for the community, especially for children, especially for Children's Hospital, and it's very much in alignment with mixed kids and what we try to do, you know, in our community to help young people, including, you know, building a children's learning center that will, you know, kind of be our legacy for, you know, the future of what our legacy and what we leave behind in Alabama will be for, you know, Miss Terry and I. So we're always excited to be here. Happy that, you know, Alabama had a great win over Georgia, played really well. I think Caitlin's done a great job of bringing the team back after a disappointing opening loss for Florida State. And, you know, even for Auburn fans, you know, I would say, you know, your all team has been impressive. I know you lost two really close games to both, you know, top 10 teams on the road. I think Hugh Freeze is doing a great job, and I think if you continue to support him, that this team's going to come around. They get the offensive line to play a little bit better. You know, they got a quarterback that can run, throw RPOs. They got receivers that can beat man-to-man. So I think they'll do just fine.
What impressed you the most with Alabama relative to game one for the Florida State?
Well, I just think, you know, first of all, I like the mentality of the team. I think they showed great resiliency in this game at Georgia, to stay focused, overcome adversity, play for 60 minutes, which, you know, the first game, they looked great early and then kind of unraveled. So, you know, I think that comes from maturity. You know, I think in this day and age, you know, you have so many different people on your team that each year is like, how can we take all these new people and mold them into a team? And I think sometimes you got to figure out what you got before you can do that. But I think the staff there has done a really good job of that. And I think Ryan Grubb has done a really, really good job. I thought, you know, the game plan that they had against Georgia, the execution, 13 for 19 on third down, starting out the game 8 for 8 on third down against a multiple defense that's really good defense that does a lot of stuff, takes a lot of planning and preparation. Obviously, Ty Simpson did a good job. But so this is what I see being really good coaching.
What's the biggest challenge for Kirby to have better success against Alabama going forward?
I think you ought to ask Kirby that. I'm not here to judge Kirby. I mean, Kirby does a great job. They got a great team. And, you know, I think they're going to be a contender in the end, too. I think that, you know, the ball didn't bounce our way this time, but if I was anybody in the SEC, I would be thinking that, you know, maybe I might have to play Georgia in the SEC championship game because I think they have a really good team.
Coach, what did you think about the hindsight, would you have put that in your playbook?
We never had any of those kind of tackle-eligible plays, but Proctor is, for his size, he is as athletic as anyone that you're ever going to find. So to do that, I think, was great ingenuity on their part, and I can't claim the fact that I would have ever been smart enough to do it.
You picked Alabama to win this past Saturday. Was that a little bit of favoritism, or did you see something that you thought gave them the edge?
No, I just... You know, I'm not around the team much, but I get a pretty good feel for what's going on from people in the organization. And I just thought the way they responded in the two games before that they were going to play well. I think, you know, Georgia had a very emotional victory coming back in the game and showing, you know, great resiliency at Tennessee, you know, to win that game in overtime. I just think you're going to see this in college football more and more and more. It's going to be more difficult based on the system that we have, that players will play with consistency like we're used to seeing in the past. So just different.
Do you already have a
pick about Vanderbilt, the Vanderbilt game this weekend?
Yeah, I haven't watched Vanderbilt yet, but I have watched them on TV. I think these guys are a really good football team. I think, you know, Clark Lee has done a fabulous job, you know, there. Obviously, Diego is a really good quarterback. They got a really good running back. But this is actually a little better team, in my opinion, just watching them. I'm talking about all the way around defensively and all that, than even what they had a year ago. So, you know, the one thing I think, they're a ball control team. And, you know, one of the big differences in Alabama's team that I see that could be a big benefit in this game is a year ago, you know, there was a lot of three and outs and a lot of big plays. This year, they sustained the ball. So just like in a Georgia game, you know, they kept the ball the time of possession, even though Georgia, seldom do you see the team with more rushing yards have less time of possession, which was the case in that game, because they're good on third down. I hope we can continue to run the ball a little bit better and improve in that area. But keeping the ball away from the other team is still something that's really important to do when they have significant players on the other side and you keep giving them opportunities.
Auburn's given up 17 sacks the last two games on the road. From a communication standpoint, trying to organize the cadence and snap count in environments like this in the SEC, how would you simplify that so that they probably wouldn't have less success?
I don't know that you can simplify it. I mean, noise is noise. It is what it is. So you go on silent, right, which means everybody's got to kind of see the ball. A guard hand taps the center. Now he can snap the ball. So that puts the offensive line at a disadvantage because you're not looking at who you're going to block. You've got to see the ball out of the corner of your eye. And you can try to go on the clap, or you can use a cadence. But in which case, if you can't clap loud enough, they can't hear you. The cadence is not loud enough, they can't hear you. Like, we had a clapping school for Bryce Young, because when he clapped, it was like that. So when we played on the road, we couldn't use the clap. So we had to work on clapping. So maybe that's a solution.
What's the clapping school consist of?
That's it.
Nick Saban never missed a trick, Chase. Clapping school for Bryce Young. How about that? I mean, great stuff from the former Alabama head coach, now ESPN College Game Day analyst. He'll be a home game for Coach Saban. He'll get to sleep in his own bed on Friday night and be right here on campus. You know, he's going to love that, doing game day from until 11 a.m. and then just being able to walk over to the stadium. So looking forward to that for the Alabama-Vanderbilt game. All right, everything is key problem is solved. Thanks to Coach Saban there for picking up the slack, because I had to find my keys, man. Came in this morning, Chase will tell you, by the way, this is the Gary Harris Show, and I am Gary Harris, but Chase will tell you, I come in, I've got one bag, and I need to just pack my backpack and do that. But I carry a bag with my headphones, my little mic screen, you know, what few little notes that I have, cell phone charger, And then I always pack a bottle of water and a soft drink, Pepsi Zero Sugar, in another bag. And so I'm carrying in two bags. I'm talking about those little plastic grocery bags. That's what I'm saying. I need to get my backpack and get everything packed into that, so I won't have to be carrying in so many things. But anyway, so I carry in two bags. I go to the refrigerator first thing to put my drink in there, because I don't drink it right away. And then I come up here. Barry finishes up. You know, we do a little transfer of power, if you will. And but I don't like keeping my keys in my pocket. I just don't. So you're usually wearing gym shorts or, you know, so I'll lay them on the table here. Well, I went back downstairs, came back up, and I was organizing, getting my headphones out, getting my little windscreen out, you know, whatever else I needed, a couple of notes. And I also have a key card to get into the building. Sometimes I'll use it. Sometimes I'll just come up the stairs and Chase will let me in. But I came in through the downstairs this morning, so I had my key card. And then I was like, felt in my pocket and didn't feel any keys. Looked on the table, didn't feel any keys. Didn't see any keys. And I'm like, oh, boy. So time for the show. So we start the show, and I'm like, I got to find my keys. So let's run some Nick Saban. And so then I go downstairs, retract my steps, and didn't see any keys. So I called Barry. Did you pick up my keys by any chance? Stick them in your pocket. Nope, I don't have them. Okay, well, I've got a limited range that I've been. So I said, well, heck, you know, because I've never done this, ever. Usually, plus I thought my truck would beep. But I go to my vehicle, and the door was unlocked. My keys, I left them in my vehicle, which I don't ever do. So it goes to show you I got too much on my brains, what that shows you. And I thought my truck would beep if the keys were in it. But I guess it probably just wouldn't lock without the keys being out. But anyway, problem solved, ready to rock and roll. Let me go ahead and tell you, this hour of the Gary Harris Show is being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member owned and not for profit. It's just a better way of banking. Also, Alabama Credit Union welcomes Alabama River Credit Union as they are merging and bringing River Credit Union into the Alabama Credit Union. It's going to be even bigger and better. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union loans for life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right. Lineup for today, the Rocket Man, Drudy Armand, coming up at 9:30. Hopefully Brody Smoot from, I sent Brody a message this morning and did not hear back from him, but hopefully he'll get the message. Brody Smoot from Crimson Coverage, got him in for 10:30. You just heard from Nick Saban. We got some sound from the coaches yesterday at the Alabama press conference, the coordinators and head coach Kayla DeBoer. Your phone calls are welcome at 205-342-9904. In fact, we got a phone call there in the music band. We'll get to you in the next segment. So we're out. We're smoothed out. We're off and running. Everything's good. I'm happy. Chase is happy. This is the Gary Harris Show. We're going to have some fun this morning, and we'll be right back with phone calls after this.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. There's one small 5-acre active wildfire burning about 10 miles east of Centerville this morning. Four other larger fires ranging from 18 acres in western Greene to 95 acres in northern Perry County are contained. The National Climate Center not giving good news for the future, though. Precipitation forecast for the remainder.
Listen for your chance to win tickets. Bring the entire family. Enjoy food, fun, and one of the largest art shows in the Southeast. For more info on the festival, go to kintuck.org.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
Do for you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5255. 5127 NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show, and key issue, as I said, is solved. I had to find them, though. I wasn't going to be able to enjoy doing my show if I couldn't find my keys, man. I'm Chase knows me. I'm a peculiar person like that. I've got, I guess it's ADD or something. It's like when I'm picking up around the house, man, I can be, it's hard for me to get too much done because my mind starts, you know, I'll see a sock, and I'm like, where's the other sock? And I'll spend 30 minutes, I'll quit doing everything else to find the sock. And if I can't find the sock, then eventually I'll just throw the other sock away because I can't. So we got the keys, man. So we are ready to rock and roll. I can get out of here after the show, and we're going to jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and welcome in Larry the Music Man. Hey, Larry.
Gary, good morning. What a wonderful weekend for Alabama football and the fans. Man, what a game. That was two heavyweights going at it. I was talking to Chase. I said, Chase, were we lucky? He said, no. We were the better team. So I'll leave it at that. We got some work to do, though, for Vandy.
Absolutely.
Gary, I think parity, they wanted this. We're certainly getting it, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, Larry. It very much so. What's happened is, and as I said yesterday, you have to adjust your thinking. I think if you're a fan or a sportscaster or analyst, whatever you may be, even 5 years ago, it's different because of the portal, because of NIL, the way that the players think now. It's just not a situation where guys are going to stay in one place and be developed. And even if they sign with that school out of high school as a hotshot prospect, the odds that you're going to keep them unless they have early playing time. So, and if you're a bad team, and you've got some money to spend. You know, used to when you were bad, you know, it was a building process. I had a coach tell me one time, Larry, when you took over a bad program, there were four faces. There was lose big the first year, lose close the second year, win close the third year, and win big the fourth year. In other words, there was a four-year plan. You know, it felt like it took you 4 years. Now, if you're bad, like Mississippi State was bad last year, or Florida State was bad last year, just go into the portal. Buy yourself a whole new football team. Florida State brought in like 70 players. Mississippi State brought in like 50. And they're both really good teams.
And if you're an old school fan like you and I and many of the callers, you either jump off the train or you ride it. I mean, this is the way it is. And Ty, I think what's so special about him, he rode the train and stayed. He's a throwback to staying with the school and where he wants to play football, and look what we're getting.
Yeah, you know? And it's paid off beautifully for him, and he's going to have a legacy, and it's going to be great. But even Ty, I think if he were to sign this year or last year, may not have stayed. It was still a little bit different when he signed, but I'm with you. And, but look, man, maybe he'll be a lesson for some other guys. The grass isn't always greener. If you're at a really top-notch program and you enjoy the program and you enjoy the school and you enjoy building something for yourself, but that's hard for these kids to see. And listen, not just the players. A lot of times their parents too. All they see now is money opportunities. You know, they're not – you know, and so it's changed things. But like you said, as a fan, we adjust. The games are still fun. But what it has done is that in this conference, the Southeastern Conference, 1 through 16, anybody can lose on a given Saturday. And that's why, you know, you just played this game against Georgia, and fans are like, yeah, man, beat Georgia again. But like you said, you can't come back this week and be like, oh, well, You know, we accomplished something. You haven't accomplished anything. You got to come home and play a Vanderbilt team that whipped you last year, that's 5-0 this year, who has arguably, I don't know if he's the best quarterback in the country, but he's certainly one of the most competitive and toughest and probably does more for his team than any other quarterback in the country. And he, you know, he beat you last year. So, yeah, you got to come right back on Saturday at home, because what if you lose this game? Yeah, it doesn't take away the Georgia win, but it counters it out. So you're right. I mean, every Saturday you got to try to figure out a way to win the game you're playing. You can't look ahead to the third Saturday in October. You can't look ahead to next week when you go to Missouri. You got to play this game this week, and your focus has to be – you have to be singularly focused on the task at hand. And coaches talk about that all the time, but I think sometimes players don't get it. But they better get the message now, because the first Saturday that you run out there and you're not ready to play, you're going to get beat.
Preach it, brother. Well, Gary, I know other callers. Let me, this, tomorrow's show will be, this is going to be fun. I want seven of the one-hit wonders from the 70s, seven, and I want the song and the group. And don't matter if that group was a superstar group later, they only had one-hit wonders.
Well, how did you come up with seven?
Lucky seven.
Okay. That's a lot of one-hit wonders for people to come up with right there now.
Well, everybody always says three, four. This is hard. So, okay, I'm going to be nice and make it seven. So, lucky seven. You pick seven. My head was full of them already, man. It was like, Jesus Christ, you don't really. I thought the 60s were much greater on one-hit wonders. We know that. But the 70s had their share too, man. And it was by some bands that only had one hit, but later became a super group with other bands, you know?
I love one-hit wonders. I just think it may stretch them to try to come up with seven of them, but that's what we'll do.
You know me, I want to keep it interesting.
Well, if you can't come up with seven, call it anyway, how many you can come up with?
Really? Hey, listen, October's going to be wide open starting. It's going to be back to Southern Rock. I've got guests lined up. We got the Leonard Skinner story. We got the Dwayne Allman. So everybody stay tuned. I think they're going to really enjoy it.
All right, Larry, talk to you tomorrow.
All right, brother. See you.
All right, 9:28 here on the Gary Harris Show, and the YMCA is ready for you, and you're ready for the Y. I go to the downtown branch, 2300 13th Street. I've been there for over 20 years and love the facility, love the people. Of course, initially it was in a different location, but we've been in this location now for like 10 years, man. But it is beautiful. They got the two lighted outdoor pickleball courts open now. Great staff, great people. The CEO, Jeff Knox, great guy, knows the fitness business. People person. You'll love being a member of the Y, not just for the workout opportunities, but for the community of people that you'll get to know. And if you're over 60, they've got the Silver Sneakers program too. Check that out. All right, we'll be back with the Rocket Man, Rudy Arvin, next here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.
Don't wait. Call now. 800-601-7780. 800-601-7780.
Must qualify for enrollment. Results may vary.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Rudy Arvin, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville. A couple quick notes, though. Doubleheader Monday Night Football last night. The Dolphins got their first win as they beat the Jets 27-21, but it was costly. Tyreek Hill, nasty injury in that game after he caught a pass from Tua Tagovailoa on the sideline. Got his leg bent up under him. Kneecap issues, but now reports, according to ESPN, that there are torn ligaments, ACL. He's going to have surgery today, and is expected to be lost for the season. Also, the Broncos last night got a win over the Bengals 28-3. The Bengals without Joe Burrow, of course, they're going to struggle. I mean, they might have to look to bring in another quarterback. But Monday Night Football doubleheader. All right, let's get the Rocket Man on here right now. Got to cover with him. Hey, good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Gary.
All right, man, let's start with what we saw in Athens, and I want to get your analysis because any way you win a game against Georgia on the road to snap a 33-game losing streak is big. But the fact that Alabama kind of toughed it out, I mean, I don't know how you felt, but if you'd have told me, as happy as I was for Alabama to be up 24-14 at half, if you'd have said Alabama's not going to score in the second half, I would have told you they're going to wind up winning this game by losing this game by double digits. But they didn't score, and they still won the game. So the offense in the first half was efficient, was on point. Ty was excellent. The second half, the defense, which I thought in the first half was fortunate that they didn't give up more points, give them credit. They made plays when they had to make them. You know, they got off the field on fourth down. You know, they did in the second quarter, forced a turnover, you know, made some big plays. So I guess you could say first half offense, second half defense, and Bama gets out of there with a win. How did you see it?
Well, I mean, I thought offensively they had a really good plan. They did a good job of staying patient with the run. Now, it wasn't super productive. They had 117 yards, and like I said on your show last week, I felt like they needed to hit 150, and they came close. You know, I knew that it was going to be tough sledding to run the football on Kirby Smart in Georgia, no question about that. And it was, and also credit Kirby. I knew at halftime that they were going to make some adjustments and make things more difficult. I do think that it kind of set the tone for the second half offensively when Alabama, you know, missed the field goal. I thought, you know, that kind of shifted momentum. But throughout the game, and it started really in the first quarter on the first drive when Ryan Williams dropped basically a 75-yard touchdown, Alabama showed a lot of toughness, and they still finished the drive. You know, it was a back-to-back 14-play touchdown drives, and they did a really good job of taking the crowd out of the game and jumping on UGA. You know, now the holding penalty was big because, honestly, it looked like Alabama had held Georgia on downs. I thought Kirby should have kicked it there, but he decided to go for it. It looked like Alabama had him stopped at the 1.5-yard line, defended it well, but you know, there was the holding penalty on Xavien Brown, which I thought was a good call. And then, you know, Alabama gave up the touchdown. But the big thing was before the end of the half, they answered that. They went up 24-14. But I thought defensively they were good, not great. You know, I'd probably, you know, I'll be honest, I think the first half was a B-plus to an A-minus. I thought the second half defensively, because the run defense was porous, I didn't think it was very good. I probably would have given them a C. But again, they did win the turnover battle 1-0, and I said they had to win that, and they haven't turned the football over. And I said the red zone would be really key, and they, as you mentioned at the start of the conversation, they got that key fourth down stop when Kirby once again eschewed putting game pressure on Alabama and tying the game with a field goal. He decided to hurry up and try to run the football, and LT Overson made a huge play. So I did think that they competed well. They showed a lot of grit. Now they have to handle success and be ready for a team. And I'm going to say it on your show, Gary. I've said it on mine and on my Bama's radio podcast and on my Bama recap show. I'm telling you right now, this Vanderbilt team is the best I've ever seen. And I think they're better offensively than Georgia. They're not better defensively, no question. But they are improved, I think, from last year, especially from a depth perspective. And I think in many ways that they're a more complete team than UGA just simply because of their physicality on offense. And they've upgraded at receiver. They got an outstanding tight end. And I just think while Gunnar Stockton's a good player, I think Diego Pavi is better. So Alabama better be ready to go because this is a huge challenge. I know they're at home, which is great. But, you know, this Vanderbilt team is a really good football team. And Alabama should, you know, be ready because of what happened a year ago. But look, Georgia was supposed to be ready as well. All we heard was they've been waiting for 10 years.
That's right.
Kirby's
That's right.
Never had Alabama in their backyard. How's Alabama going to deal with the physicality of the big bad dog? And I don't think this Alabama team, and I questioned Alabama's toughness. Are they tough enough to to stand up to the big bad dog. Well, we got our answer. Alabama was tough enough. Ty Simpson was better than Gunnar Stockton. And Alabama's got a good football team, but they got to continue to work and get better. And certainly this Georgia team is not a vintage one, especially from a pass rush standpoint under Kirby. But I think they're going to get better. And any time you went on the road, it's very difficult. And this was a watershed moment for Kalen DeBoer if Alabama can build on it. And hopefully they'll be able to against what I think is a really good Vanderbilt football team that Alabama needs to go out. I'll just say this. I think what we saw out of Alabama offensively on Saturday, that needs to happen against Vanderbilt. Alabama needs to play keep away. They need to possess the football. They need to score. They need to keep Diego Pavi on the sideline. And then when Vanderbilt, we know their style of offense is a very difficult preparation, but when you have a chance to get off the field on third down or fourth down, you've got to do it. And then if you can force Diego and those guys into a mistake, you've got to. And if Alabama can continue to protect the ball like they have and not turn it over, then I think Alabama can be very difficult to beat. I think it needs to be a 38-28 type game, but certainly Alabama's capable of doing it. And I thought, Brian Grubb continues, and he and Kalen DeBoer, Nick Sheridan, even though they didn't score the second half, I thought it was a beautifully called game. I thought they had Georgia really confused in the first half. And, they were still a play or two away from scoring points in the second half. And I thought they just did a really nice job of keeping them off balance. And you have to really give Alabama a lot of credit for how they played offensively, because I think Jam Miller's just going to get better because, again, that was his first game. I was a little bit surprised that the running back rotation was cut down to just two, but that's the way Alabama decided to attack it. And the offensive line's got to continue to gel, but I thought the two keys to the game, the MVPs anyway, were Ty Simpson, but then, of course, that offensive line, because I thought they did a brilliant job keeping Ty Simpson clean all night.
Getting back to this Vanderbilt game and Diego Pavia and what he brings to the table, and you've already mentioned, the kid's tough. He wants the moment. I said earlier, I don't know if he's the best, the best quarterback in the country, but I don't know that any quarterback does more for his team. He loves the mammoth, the moment. And now, as fate would have it, I guess, he and Johnny Manziel, are hooking up. Manziel's going to be there on the Vandy sideline in a Pavia jersey. And he's had some stuff to say. And, Pavia loves his stuff. I mean, he talked before the game last year, during the game, after the game, and now Manziel is chimed in. And he's on the Nightcap podcast, said they hungry, and guess what? I'm going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama on Saturday, and I'm on the Vandy sideline. I'm wearing a Pavia jersey. Bring it on is what them boys are saying. And he said, he went on to say, ain't nobody scared of Alabama anymore. Nobody. So that's the way this Vandy team rolls. I mean, I wouldn't want Johnny Manziel popping off, in support of my team, but Vanderbilt seems comfortable with it. So there's a lot of reasons for Alabama to be ready to play this football game. And now I think Johnny Manziel is another one.
Yeah, it certainly is. How did Johnny's rematch go?
Exactly. It didn't go well.
No, I mean, it started well. He was up 14-0, giving dollar signs because he was NIL before NIL.
Yep.
And Alabama came back and whipped his ass 49-42. And we all know how his career went from there, toilet. But anyway, like I said, I mean, Bobby is an outstanding competitor, no doubt about it. He'll have Alabama's full attention. I mean, that was the mantra last week. Nobody's scared of Alabama anymore. Georgia's going to run them over. And it was a revenge game for Georgia. And how did that go? So Alabama's not guaranteed anything. They have to go out and earn it. There's no question about it. They got to keep handling business. I don't really give a rat's crap what a has-been like Johnny Manziel saying. I just hope he's not broke. At this period of time, that's probably why he's on the sideline. Some company's probably paying him to make an appearance and wear a Diego Pavia jersey. But the guy was a great college player. He was a complete flop as a pro because he couldn't handle success. And and again was basically a spoiled brat growing up that got anything he ever wanted, and when he had to work for it and grind, he couldn't live up to it. Now, I will say this: I don't think Diego has those qualities. I think he is a grinder. He has to be, because you know he's a guy that's been overlooked his whole career. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. There's no doubt about that. And that's why Alabama has to be ready. I mean, this Vanderbilt team is better outside. They've added speed at wide receiver. They've got two good running backs. They've got Eli Stowers, one of the best tight ends in the country, who's their leading receiver. They've got Diego, a guy who he has thrown three picks, but I still think he's throwing the football better than he has. So it's got, assignment football is going to be very, very important in this game. Being in the right gap is going to be very important. And then just making him feel you. You've got to tackle. You've got to wrap up. And there was too many, too much unsoundness, I thought, in the run defense against Georgia. You can't give Vanderbilt those kind of gaps, because I'm just telling you, people got to stop focusing on the helmet and the logo. I mean, Vanderbilt, this is not an ordinary Vanderbilt team. This team is better than they were a year ago. I know they've gotten off to slow starts in games, but Gary, you've seen how they played in second halves. Now, granted, their schedule strength hasn't been the greatest, but it's the way they're beating teams. And so Alabama has to be ready. And then I think the biggest keys to the game are time of possession for Alabama. They've got to be able to be balanced on offense, and then they got to protect the ball. If they don't turn it over, I think it's going to be tough for Vandy to consistently stop Alabama. They're capable of doing it, and we saw what they did a year ago when Milroe wasn't sound in the protected the ball. Alabama still was very productive on offense, but then made just enough mistakes to allow Vandy to escape. Alabama's got to be sharper, and then they've got to get 2 to 3 stops, whether those are turnovers or a forced punt, something to that effect. If they do that, Alabama can win this game, because they've been great at home, and I'm sure Vanderbilt's going to travel well, but I expect it to be a great crowd in Tuscaloosa, and it's really cool that game day is going to be there to give Ty Simpson his props for how he's played, but then to also give Vanderbilt and Clark Lee, I got to give him and Barton Simmons, who I had on my show when he was in the recruiting game, a lot of credit. They've done remarkable things at Vanderbilt. But Alabama's got to, stay the course, got to continue to compete. And they're in the middle of a gauntlet, Alabama is, schedule-wise, because you go to Missouri, who's going to be undefeated after this. So Alabama's, in the middle of a very, very difficult stretch. But this is where you prove your greatness and your toughness. And, again, it's not just about beating Georgia. This season's kind of interesting, because it feels like a very long year, like they've already played for – 2+ months, but this is only the end of the first month. And remarkably, the Georgia game was only the first SEC game, because honestly, in many ways, it feels like they played Florida State 2 months ago.
Drew's already covered it, but I'm going to read the full quote to everybody, because I found it, because Manziel was on the Nightcap show with Shannon Sharpe and Chad Johnson. This is all that he had to say, and Drew's already addressed it, but I do want the listeners to hear it in full context. In the past, you walk in facing an Alabama team, you probably got a little fear. This is Bama, the team that has been a dynasty. You got a little fear. That fear aspect of what Alabama is completely gone. Ain't nobody scared of them boys. Not Vandy, not Kentucky, not nobody. Nobody's walking in seeing Alabama on the schedule and having any kind of shake, any kind of fear, nothing. Well, we'll see what happens on Saturday. Drew, how concerned are you about the defensive line with James Smith out for the first half? Did get Tim Keenan back, but Quay Rousseau is out indefinitely. Jamarian Latham's out for the season. Now, Eldrick Hill, I thought, stepped up and played his best game of his Bama career, but how concerned are you about that defensive front against this Vanderbilt team?
Well, I mean, very much so. I mean, you don't have James Smith for the half. I guess that'll mean we didn't see much of London Simmons on Saturday. I would think we'd have to see much more of him. He's a true freshman. The Jordan Renaud, certainly you mentioned Edric Hill. I thought Edric played well. He got a half sack in the game, did a good job. I thought he was playing hard. It is big to have Tim Keenan back. I think you need LT Overton's best game, and he certainly stepped up in some big moments. in Athens, but you need LT overs and getting out after Pavia. You just need to keep Pavia in the pocket. Don't let him break contain. Keep him in front of you. And if you can, get him on the ground, no doubt about it. But you know, Alabama has to set the tone. They've got to win some one-on-ones. They've got to get penetration. They've got to be tough against the run. You know, Kane Womack, in his media availability yesterday, he did make the point. They gave up the six explosive runs, which is unacceptable. You can't do that. But on all the other carries, I mean, it was like 2 yards per carry. But you just can't give Vanderbilt explosive plays. And you got to be able to get off the field. You got to – you got. See, last year, you remember the game, it was always second and three, third and two. You could never keep Vanderbilt in bad down and distance situations. When you did, it was a struggle. So it's really about winning on first and second down, especially first down for Alabama. They've got to create some negative plays and things of that nature. And if they can, then I think they can beat the Commodores. And I'll be honest, you know, Vanderbilt may be the best team Alabama's played, because Florida State, I just don't think Alabama was ready yet. And I think FSU's much improved and they're good. I don't think they're great. They proved that by, you know, laying an egg in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I think they'll probably get their tails popped on Saturday against Miami, even though certainly I'll be rooting for the Noles, because the Noles winning does nothing but help Alabama. But, you know, this is a Vanderbilt team that's playing with a lot of confidence and swagger. But Alabama needs to – hopefully they've gotten some of their resolve back over these last three games. They proved they've come a long way against Georgia, but there's still going to be some people like Johnny Manziel doubting them. I hope Johnny's over there holding signs up. That's fine. Go ahead. You know, be championing Vanderbilt. Then hopefully, you know, he'll be he can go crying his beer after the game when Alabama wins it with Diego Pavia. But we'll see. But certainly, I think Alabama knows the challenge that they have in front of them. I would be shocked if they don't. And this is just a tough stretch of the schedule, but you've got to help. You got to use your home crowd, use the energy and the atmosphere, and you got to come ready to play. And then I want to see this offense continue to evolve too. I'd like to see the running game get going this week. I really love the plan and the formationing and what they're doing. And who knows? I mean, maybe we'll see another screen pass to Caden Proctor, but that was something to see that really kind of was one of the signature moments of a big win in Athens, Georgia, an attempt and 11 tries, you know, against the Dogs in the last decade plus.
All right, real quickly, Drew, because we're going to get to clock, and I do want to ask you about basketball. But well, it's one game, but I want you to put into context how big this win was for DeBoer. I mean, I can't even – I don't know if I can even – describe what it would have been like had Alabama lost that game, to go to 2-2 overall, 0-1 in the SEC with what's ahead. I mean, this town, this state, everything's different because of that outcome. I mean, that result was badly needed. I know it's a long season, and you'll be judged based on the season, but in the short term, how big was that win for Kalen DeBoer?
No, it was huge. I mean, it's a road win that they were harping about, and you go on and play with toughness and resolve on the road in a very difficult place to play. They had won 33 games in a row. They had not lost a home game since before COVID in 2019 to South Carolina. So it was tremendous. It means the world. But you got to – but to mean even more, you have to handle success. Last year they didn't, and they went to Nashville, and they dropped a game they shouldn't have, quite frankly. They got outplayed. Vanderbilt earned it. But they lost the football game, and then it kind of set the tone for the rest of the season. What you're trying to do here is keep stacking and send a message to people that you really are a contender in the SEC. And I think that's the next step. They've won the big road game now, proven they can go on the road and compete. Now you have to handle success, come back home, and beat a high-quality opponent in the Vanderbilt Commodores.
All right, Drew, in a minute how excited are you about Bama basketball? And just a quick, like I said, you got to do it in a minute, but how do you feel about this team coming up for the season?
No, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing them, you know, compete. You know, I think they have a good roster. I think they have the potential to be a top 15 team, but you got to see how they gel. I think I know Reitzel hasn't been cleared yet, but certainly I think he will be before the season starts. And he's an outstanding player, a veteran that you can count on. I think the guard play is going to be outstanding, especially with Filon coming back. Aiden Holloway is really good. I think he's got a chance to be a special player. The thing that I'm most excited about, though, is I want to see these new guys, the London Jemisons of the world, who's a really good player, the Amari Allens. I want to see how good and how quickly they can acclimate themselves, because I think if one of those guys is even better than you think, this team could even reach top 10 status. So I'm anxious to see them. I think they've got good depth. I think they've built another really nice roster. And I think the late addition of Collins on Onyejiwaka, that's going to help Aiden Sherrill and having a true backup five. And I just think I'm looking forward to watching this team compete. I think they're going to be, really good. And I think the guard play is going to be as good as any in college basketball.
All right, Drew, awesome content as always. I know our listeners look forward to hearing you every week. And where else can they find you?
Yeah, they can find me at DrewD977ESPN on X, at 977ESPN for our station. If you miss Talking Ball, Scott Tyson and I are on with you 7-9 a.m. Monday through Friday on ESPN 97.7 The Zone. We have all that on our SoundCloud page, 97.7 The Zone, and then at 977ESPN.com. We always enjoy being on with you, Gary. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Drew. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one of the Gary Harris Show right after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're going to talk Alabama Vanderbilt. We'll do it with Mike Dettillier. We'll take your scores on a Southern Ohio score prediction day. We'll talk to Hugh Millen, former NFL quarterback. He's going to share some thoughts on this Alabama offense and a lot more. Starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after.
Create customized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
Gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. Just a small chance of a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today 86, the low tonight 66. Tomorrow partly sunny, the chance of a shower stays very small. The high 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama.
New home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:59, wrapping it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It's just a better way of banking. Find out more at alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. And they're ready to and welcome you as a member. All right, second hour coming up. We got a lot to get to, a lot to talk about. And I'm going to put some context on this Johnny Manziel coming to Alabama to support Vanderbilt. It's kind of a two-tier type thing. He is coming, he says, but also the comments that I read earlier. But nobody scared of Bama. I've got the full context to that. We're going to play that for you in the second hour. He actually made that after the loss of Florida State. So he's been, of course, you know, I mean, everybody's after Bama, right? But Johnny Manziel, his comments were pretty disparaging of the Crimson Tide. We'll have that for you in the second hour and much more. Another hour of the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
There were two NFL games on Monday night at Miami in a battle of 0-3 teams. The Dolphins defeated the Jets 27-21. The Jets had three fumbles, 13 penalties. Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill was carted off with a dislocated knee. Denver ripped Cincinnati 28-3. Bo Nix, three total touchdowns. The Bengals on the first drive of the night kicked a short field goal. After that, nine drives, five first downs, under 100 yards of offense. J.K. Dobbins of the Broncos, 16 carries, 101 yards rushing. Giants wide receiver Malik Nabers is out for the year with a torn ACL. Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy will not return. He's been offered an advisory role, but there's an opening in San Francisco. The Giants fired manager Bob Melvin. The Minnesota Twins fired manager Rocco Baldelli after 7 years there. The Mets' Carlos Mendoza will return. Reportedly, Arizona is keeping manager Torey Lovello.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 746. That's 746. The code is 746.
Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at HIMS.com/radio. That's HIMS.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. Just a small chance of a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today 86, the low tonight 66. Tomorrow partly sunny, the chance of a shower stays very small. The high 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. I'm Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield alongside, manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. 205-342-9904 is the number. And we hope we got Brody Smoot. I have not heard back from Brody. We're going to still pencil him in for 10:30. If we don't have him, then obviously we'll have other content. But I've had a couple of people text me about the Johnny Manziel comments, and they are right. It's kind of twofold. He made the announcement this week that he's coming to Tuscaloosa for the game this Saturday. He's going to be on the Vanderbilt sideline supporting Diego Pavia in a Diego Pavia jersey. That's fine. You know, Vanderbilt wants to give him a pass for their sideline and everything. And, you know, I didn't expect him to support Alabama. But the comments, the quote I read when he said, "Ain't nobody scared of Alabama," that actually came back after the loss to Florida State. And it was on the Nightcap podcast with Shannon Sharp and Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, who are two former, of course, great NFL players. And here is what exactly what he had to say. Now, this was the loss for him to Florida State. And here's Johnny Manziel popping off about how nobody's afraid of Alabama anymore.
And the Pats, you walk in, face an Alabama team, you probably got a little fear. This is Bama, the team that's been a dynasty. The team, you got a little fear. That fear aspect of what Alabama is completely gone. And nobody's scared of them boys. Not Vandy, not Kentucky, not nobody. Nobody's walking in and seeing Alabama on the schedule and having any kind of shake, any kind of fear, nothing. They've been getting wiped the last couple years. You say that buyout's deep, but, like, they're not going to sit here and let this stand for sure. They'll go find it in the woods somewhere.
All right. Listen, people can say whatever they want. You know, he made his name in 2012 against Alabama. There's no doubt about that. He came in here and led Texas A&M to an upset victory over the Crimson Tide. But he had a couple inaccurate statements there. First of all, nobody's been wiping Alabama the last couple of years. Just 2 years ago in 2023, they won the SEC championship, went to the college football playoff, and lost to the eventual national champion Michigan Wolverines in overtime. Okay? Then last year, yeah, they did go 9-4. And they did lose to Vanderbilt. They did lose to Tennessee. They did lose to Oklahoma. They did lose to Michigan. And they lost to Florida State this year. But we'll see what goes on from this point on. But that was a big win over Georgia on the road. Get Vanderbilt in here on Saturday afternoon. And Chase, I want to bring you in because you don't ever get to talk on my show. We've talked a lot about how college football has changed. I've talked a lot about it this morning and how you have to change as a fan. You have to change your, you know, and we're going to get in while I'm sharing the mic with you. We're going to get into what happened in Starkville on Saturday too, because best team on that particular day didn't win the game. And that's what makes sports great. Best team doesn't always win. Mississippi State should have won, but we'll get to that in a moment. But for Alabama, yeah, I'm still wrapping my arms around it, even though I'm saying you have to change the way you look at it. But still, if you'd have said 2 years ago that College game day would come to Tuscaloosa for an Alabama Vanderbilt game, I mean, you wouldn't have found anybody that would have taken that. But, you know, and I think had Florida State beaten Virginia, that they probably would have been in Tallahassee for the Florida State-Miami game. But I get why they're here. I mean, I get it. Diego Pavia is a great storyline. He is a lot like a Johnny Manziel. I mean, he's got that kind of charisma. He's put a team on his shoulders. He's brought a program from the abyss. They beat Alabama last year. They're 5-0. They've been just whipping people. And this is a legitimate big game. It's got a big game feel. Plus, you have the payback aspect for Alabama. But as Drew said, Chase, Georgia had been wanting to pay back Alabama for 10 years. You know, all that. How do you feel about this matchup? Do you, again, I'll make my prediction tonight on Tider Insider TV. But Vandy is a legitimate threat, not just to come in here and play a good game, but to win this game.
100%, Gary. I think with the way Vandy is playing, they're not Vandy of old. They're not the Vandy that we laugh about and just kind of put to the side. This is the new college football. The fact that game day, one of the biggest spectacles in sports right now, is coming to Tuscaloosa for a Vandy game speaks a lot to where everything is at. But you have to give Vandy credit, you know. As much as I hate to say this, you know, they're legit this year. You know, they've beaten the teams they're supposed to be beating in a very fashionable way. But I think this is Bama's another bulletin board material for them to shut down Diego Pavia and what Vanderbilt is building right now and continue to show that they are still a dominant team. And you and Drew have said it. You know, Georgia is still chasing Alabama. It showed last weekend. Vandy has a long way to go, but Bama is still the standard. The last time I checked, they were still in the hunt for a championship 2 years ago. They're mystique and pedigree is still there. They are still the cream of the crop, and they showed that last weekend. But for Johnny Manziel, of all people, who, yeah, had a magical season against Alabama in 2012, I haven't heard much of him since he left A&M. But, you know, there's going to be people like that that want to make their name off of Alabama football, and rightfully so. We're in the media side of things, but you know, it's strange for me for Johnny to come to Tuscaloosa to wear a Vanderbilt jersey when he has no affiliate with them and to make those comments, even though it was after Florida State. You know, Bama has turned it around. You know, maybe he needs to address that and see what his evaluation, because Alabama is a different team. their toughness, their mentality, their timidness is just gone. I don't recognize them on the offensive side, the defensive side, Gary. But, you know, Johnny's a great player. He did some good things in the NFL, and he's making his name in the sports media side of things. But for him to make those comments and then to aggravate it even more, I'm just scratching my head at this, because Bama, I think they'll win this game against Vandy, especially in convincing fashion.
I know a lot of Alabama fans hope you're right. That's for sure. And it's a big game. That is for sure as well. All right, we'll get back with Chase on what happened in Starkville on Saturday, because, again, I didn't watch the entire game, but it sure felt like that Mississippi State should have won that football game. Right now, let's jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. We're going to welcome Tom into the program. Hey, Tom, the sheriff.
Morning. Morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing well.
You know, you can get on the media bandwagon like Manziel does. He wants attention. And crackheads say crazy things. And it's no doubt about it. And, you know, why does nobody ever, when they talk about his success in Tuscaloosa, why does nobody ever bring up the fact that he was luckier than a crap house rat?
Well, because he made some incredible plays in that game. The biggest one was when the ball got knocked out of his hands, flew up in the air, and he caught it and threw a touchdown pass. But he was fortunate to win that game. If Alabama down there, if Doug Nussmeier just calls a running play or two down there inside the 3-yard line, Alabama wins that football game. And I still think they would have won it had on the punt that Texas A&M had late in the game from deep in their own side territory, if a guy had not jumped off sides for Alabama, they'd have gotten the ball probably inside midfield, and I think they would have gone down and scored. So, and then Alabama would have had a perfect season that year. Yeah,
they were lucky. I don't care what anybody said, and he was lucky. And I don't know, why does all of a sudden Johnny Manziel have credibility? Who's making an expert out of him?
Oh, I don't know that anybody's making an expert. You know what? He's got an audience because he is Johnny Football, and he's, like you said, his life probably has not gone the way that he would have hoped that it would have gone. So, you know, he's trying to stay relevant, but it adds a little spice to the game. I mean, it does.
It does. But let me ask you this.
Okay.
The game in Tuscaloosa that Johnny Manziel won, luckily won, he would have never even sniffed the NFL.
Well, I don't know about that. I think he had a pretty spectacular run at A&M outside of just that game. I think that helped raise his profile, obviously. There's no doubt about it. But I think – you know, he had some incredible games now as a college football player. I mean, you have to give it to him. It didn't work out for him in the NFL, but he's not the only one. But I don't think it was just that one game, Tom. I think that helped. There's no doubt about it. But he was an impressive college football player. Now, you have to admit, you go back and watch some of the plays that he made. Yeah, I remember even watching him play before people really knew who he was. And I remember Rodney Orr and I were talking about, man, who is this kid? I mean, he was just, you couldn't get your hands on him. So he was a special college football player, but you're right, he bombed in the NFL. I mean, completely bombed.
Well, I don't view him as being an expert or anything like that. I view him as being a clown. And I mean, I'm telling you, this is public service announcement. Don't pay attention to him. He doesn't know anything. So,
well, what would really be good, Tom, is for because if Alabama does lose the game, he's going to be out there rapping and yapping and doing all his stuff. So Alabama just needs to shut him up and Pavia up at the same time. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree 100%. See you, Jerry.
All right. Thank you, Tom. That's what they need to do. All right. 10:16 here on the Gary Harris Show. And we're going to take a break, and we'll take more phone calls when we come back. We've kind of gotten into this Johnny Manziel deal. He's going to be in Tuscaloosa and supporting Diego Pavia. And word is now he's going to be out and about on Friday night. So, my gosh, man. Just when you thought Johnny Football was a thing of the past, he's back. We'll be back after this.
Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Good Tuesday morning. Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines brought to you by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. As many as 900,000 Alabamians who depend on federal checks and programs could face delays or cutbacks if the federal government shuts down at midnight tonight. The Tuscaloosa City Council will decide tonight whether or not to revoke the business license of a local gun store. In sports, Tide football coach Kalen DeBoer believes Alabama's win over Georgia last year led to their embarrassing upset by Vanderbilt the next week. The same situation applies this season.
We didn't handle success, however you want to put it, last year well. I mean, you can't argue that. No different this week, right?
Alabama is a 13.5-point favorite. Fall is here, so let Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram put you in a new Ram truck, Dodge Charger, or a Jeep. Shop the dealership where former...
The Bama game. On Sunday, October 12th, 92.9 WTUG will be broadcasting live. Bring the whole family to the 54th annual Kentuck Festival. Advance tickets online at kentuck.org.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos feature
on track two is delayed.
And all the while, you were on your commute home. There's more to imagine when you listen. Discover romance titles on Audible.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks the tackle, scores, scores!
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Vanderbilt at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort.
TCH Regional Medical Center.
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa.
And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
It's 1999.
Say it one more time.
All right, it's 1021. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And I got an at message from our pal LJSM down in Manville. Who gives a rat butt about anything that Johnny Manziel thinks, says, or does? That's on our app. And I don't know that anybody does, LJSM, but he still makes news. And he is coming to the game, and whether people care or not, it's something that stirs people up. So, like I said with Chase earlier, you know, just best way to shut him up is to win the game. All right, let's take a phone call, and we got a couple phone calls, in fact, to get to on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary. Happy Tuesday, and well, you got the blood blowing of boiling of some of the Bama fans, because you're right, you got to shut Manziel up, and you probably never will. I mean, that's why he's not playing in the NFL. He's not the brightest guy in the world. Great college quarterback, great athlete, but never been the brightest. And those comments are just getting him, you know, relevant again, just as so people are talking about him. I can't believe he's coming. So, but you know, last time I checked. You know, maybe they're not scared of Bama, but they just dang sure circle on everyone's schedule.
That's right.
And last year when they lost, I'm pretty positive it's a big deal when you beat them because everyone stormed the field, and they also stormed it at Florida State. So tell me Bama's not still Bama, and everybody, it's a big deal if you beat them, which hardly ever happens. So I expect a big game this week. Yeah, Vanderbilt is better than what they've been. But it's the same thing. They ran their mouth, and I think Bama's clicking now. Not going to let it slide. They will. They're going to outscore them and probably put a hurting on them, I think. I think it's going to get away from Vandy quick. I know they're better than what they were, but Bama is much better than what they've been playing after that first game. You're just not going to be able to stop those receivers and the way Ty's playing. And now you got Jam back for a second game. He's going to have a very physical, hard-running game. He's going to break some. I expect it to be a big, big win by Bama. I don't expect it to be as close as what we're expecting. Now, maybe the first half, like Wisconsin, then it's going to open up, or we just got too much speed. And then Manziel can just leave and with Pavia ride back on the bus with them if he wants to. But that's all that was, a lot of talk. I don't know why he's running his mouth, but that's stupid.
Because that's what, like, he does.
That was a big deal.
That's what Johnny Football does, is he runs that trap. Like we've been saying, he just wants to be relevant, man. And he gets an opportunity now because of Vanderbilt and Alabama, so he's going to try to cash in on it and take advantage of it. You know, a lot of people, Robbie, this day and age, I don't know what Johnny does for a living, but a lot of people try to make a living off just being who they once were. And I think that he's one of those guys. You know, he's trying to make a living off being Johnny Football. And anytime he can get in the public consciousness and, you know, I'm sure that, you know, adds to his social media influence or, you know, whatever he's doing to raise income for himself. So he's made sure that he's got a platform this week and he's going to have it. And I guarantee you it's going to be talked about on College Game Day on Saturday morning. And I'm discussing it. Other people are going to discuss it, and there we go.
Yeah, watch him be the game day picker. Surely they wouldn't do that.
No. I'm telling you what, if he pops up there on that set, you thought the Ryder Cup crowd got a little bit rowdy, right? You ain't seen nothing.
Well, I don't even know if he's going to be around Saturday, because if you said he's going out around Friday night and he runs his mouth out there, that Tuscaloosa is not going to be happy with him, and he might not even make the game. He might be sitting in that Tuscaloosa jail because he got beat up and saw some trouble.
Or even if he is out, he might be sleeping it off before he gets to the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he might. That's true. Yeah, because he does party.
All right, Robbie. Well, good luck on the tournament on Friday, and if you get a chance, call in just to give us an update on how it's going, because I'll be at Ennis Free Irish Pub.
You know I will.
All right.
I'll give you a call and let you know. I'll send you some picks, too.
Okay, absolutely. Thanks, buddy.
All right. All right, Gary.
Okay. All right, let's get to T in Tuscaloosa is next up. Hey, T.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Hey, man. I just wanted to run something by you that I haven't really heard from anyone else.
Okay.
Regarding that the third down and five play that sealed the game Saturday night.
Right.
I don't know if he was watching, but I have to wonder if Bruce Arians was watching, he'd had to be thinking, I knew I had the right play call.
You're talking about the 97 Iron Bowl, Ed System, Alabama at Auburn. Alabama's got, I thought, had the game won. Here's where I think the difference is. And again, you remind me, if I'm off base, you tell me. But in that situation, I don't think Auburn had any timeouts left. And Alabama was in a pretty good position on the field. And I think they only had, I don't think they had 5 yards. I thought it was like third and seven. Oh, it was third and seven.
It was
okay.
Longer than five.
Yeah. Okay. It was longer. So, yeah. I would have run the ball there and milked the clock down and punted the football. I still would have, I don't disagree with your premise. Alabama threw it the other night and it worked out beautifully. And if that ball is incomplete or they don't make it, they're facing the same scrutiny. So if Ed System catches that ball, and even if he doesn't fumble it, I mean, forget making the first down, even if he doesn't fumble it, you probably win the game. But,
and Saturday night's call was a little more creative.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they got him isolated. The one in 97 was just a true screen play. I mean, it was just a true screen pass. They tried to get guys out in front. This was an isolation screen. They got exactly the look that they wanted. Ty got out of the pocket and basically just flipped the ball. So, but I'm glad you brought that up because you're right. Listen, Bruce Arians moved past that, obviously. I mean, went on to win a Super Bowl as a head coach in the NFL. But I do remember.
It hadn't happened. He may not have ever made it to a Super Bowl.
You're right. He might have stated that. You know, he wouldn't have gotten fired in Alabama, that's for sure, because that would have been a huge win for Mike Dubose. But that's one of those Iron Bowls. You know, we talk about Jordan Hare. There, you know, it took Alabama 10 years to win down there. And for a while there, you were thinking, man, they're not ever going to win. It couldn't, you know, because they had that game. I thought they had that game won in 95. I thought Curtis Brown had the head replay. You know, he got his foot down. You can see the pictures now. In 93, you know, Patrick Nix comes in after Stan White went out of the game on 4th and 10 and throws up a prayer for Frank Sanders. But I remember that 97 game. What made that one so hard to stomach was Alabama was a prohibitive underdog. You know the kind of season they had. And they outplayed Auburn the whole football game. They outplayed Auburn the entire game down there. And then Jared Holmes, you know, they fumble the ball on the screen. Ed System fumbles the football. Auburn with no timeouts, kicks the timeout, wins the game, kicks the field goal, and wins the game.
Right, right. And on the Ed System fumble on that subject, I just thought it was just a great football play by Jam Miller, his knowledge and the running back's coaching for him to have just hit the ground once he got the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the game's over there. Yeah, absolutely. Don't take any more risk. Get on the ground. But you're right. That was still a gutsy call because, you know what? If you punt the ball down, you know, your defense has a chance to make a play to win it. But I didn't want to give the ball back to Georgia. We've seen too many examples just a couple weeks ago. The Ravens punted it back to the Bills and the Bills went down and won the game. I think if you have a chance to win the game, the way offenses can move the football, you know, and there was still, even if you don't make it, there's no guarantee Georgia's going to score. They probably would have been able to get field goal range and kick a field goal, but it worked out. That's all I know, and they got out of there with a dub.
That's right, man. Hey, enjoy the show.
Thank you. Absolutely. Great phone call. All right, we're going to get one more phone call before we close out the segment, and our pal Raggy Glory is on the line. Hey, Raggy Glory.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Here's what I got to say about Johnny. You know what? If anything, you just did us a favor. Yeah, shout out to the nation. Nobody's afraid of Alabama anymore. Well, guess what? You better be. Because your comment is nothing more than two turds in my toilet, and I'm going to throw two copper pennies in there so you can dive down and get them. It wouldn't surprise me if he does end up in jail. I'll back Robbie up on that.
Lord. Right. Oh, Johnny Football can still stir him up, can he, Chase?
You know what? I'm going to strip that title away from him because he didn't do squat in the NFL.
No, he didn't.
He wasted his natural talent, which I will give to him. Okay? But, uh-uh. You didn't do anything, and you can't back it up. So there it is there.
You said a lot.
Sorry, Gary. Hey. I had to bring it, man.
You did. You brought it, pal. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too.
Thank you.
Have a blessed day. Yeah. Man. We'll talk tomorrow.
Rag Glory unloading on Johnny Football here on the Gary Harris Show. All right, it's 10:31. I don't think we're going to get Brody Smoot. I have not been able to get in touch with him. I'll have Chase call him just in case. But if not, we're going to come back with Ryan Grubb, Alabama offensive coordinator, talking about the Crimson Tide's performance against Georgia and then what they'll need to do to be successful against the Vanderbilt Commodores. Of course, Ty Simpson. It all starts with Ty Simpson right now. I'm not sure there's a quarterback in the country playing any better than this guy. And so if we can't get in touch with Brody Smoot, we will have Ryan Grubb for you as we roll along on a Tuesday. I lost my keys this morning. Found them. Didn't really lose them. Misplaced them. Left them. But we got off and running with the Nick Saban. Had some audio from you from yesterday that nobody else had played from the Monday Morning Quarterback Club. So that was a good way to start the show. Coach, you know, is excited about being here in town at home for game day on Saturday. We'll be back after this.
By the grand opening of Primetime Men's Clinic, October 2nd from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. at 4804 Highway 69 in Northport. PrimetimeMen'sClinic.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are it's kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well, The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:36. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And we're going to get to that Ryan Grubb audio, but right now we're going to take a phone call. I'm going to jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. Welcome in, Cole. Hey, Cole, good morning.
What's up, Gary? What is Manziel doing in Tuscaloosa? He has nothing to do with Bama or Bandy. Why are we letting him walk through that door?
Well, you know what it is he's a Bama hater going back to his playing days. And
well, why is he coming here?
He's partnered up with Pavia. And, you know, Vanderbilt, you know how it is. The visiting team gets sideline passes as well. And, you know, they're going to put him on the sideline to support
Greg
Diego
Byrne
Pavia.
Wants his ass on the sideline?
I don't think Greg Byrne wants him there. I think Vanderbilt has as a visiting team, you have a certain amount of sideline passes for, again, and maybe he won't be on the sideline, but that's what he said. He said he would be.
He doesn't need to be on the field at all.
Well,
ass in the box.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but what I'm saying is if Vanderbilt gets him approved for a pass, then he can be down there. He's supporting Vanderbilt. He's not supporting Alabama.
That's why he doesn't need to pass at all. He needs to just stay in the parking lot, get his ass beat.
All right, Cole.
Roll Tide, Gary.
All right, man. Hey, listen, I'm just the messenger here. I mean, don't. Again, he said he was going to be here. I mean, you know, it's Johnny Football. He may not even show up. But, and again, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but I know as a visiting team, you designate certain people as part of your party to be on the sideline, and maybe that's what Vanderbilt's done. I don't know. Maybe he will be in the stands. Maybe he won't be inside the stadium at all. But he said that he would be here on the sideline supporting Diego Pavia in a Pavia jersey. But we will we'll take a look and we will see. But I tell you what, he can still wear people up. People saying he's irrelevant, but he let's go ahead and get to that Ryan Grubb audio because it's only about 8 minutes. And this is the Alabama offensive coordinator for Monday, recapping Georgia and looking ahead to Vanderbilt. And let's hear from Coach Grubb right now.
Hey, Ryan. Saw a little bit of Will Sanders on the left side, Wilkin Formby at guard, and Michael Carroll at right tackle. Curious about especially Wilkin kind of cross-training at guard and tackle, what you've seen out of him over the last few weeks to make that happen.
Yeah, Wilkin obviously has the athleticism to play inside and the size. So I think there's a couple things that happen for Wilkin in there. He is natural pad level because he's got his hand in the dirt. And he's got a good base and wide frame. So he's really done a nice job in there. So we're going to keep, you know, working on that and expand. As long as he can stay right-handed, play on the right side, I think that the transition for him is easy.
Jump to the right side, Dick.
Yeah, the Caden Proctor play calls that an Iowa guy, give another Iowa guy an opportunity. Yeah. What ended that decision there?
Well, I mean, KP, first of all, any play like that, the only way I do stuff like that is if it's guys that I trust. And obviously Jeremy Bernard, KP are guys that are trustworthy, and they know if they trick off the rep in practice or, you know, they're not good with the football and they're not secure, then you know, we just won't do it. So KP took it very seriously. He knew he had the ball on the outside arm, knew how to protect it. I think he's a super athletic guy. I mean, it was just fun. I wish he could have scored, but, you know, the guys were excited to block for him. I knew he had a chance to run over, you know, one or two or three people. And down there tight in the red zone, those are tough yards to get. I thought it was – honestly, it was a huge play. It was I think we're on the 13. And so, you know, you're first and 10 on the 13-yard line. You get a first down right there, and now you're first and goal on the 2. Those are tough yards down there. So I thought it was a good opportunity, not necessarily something they probably saw was coming.
Jumping back to the left side, Chase.
all offensive line questions so far.
Good.
So we're seeing you guys rotate on the offensive line. Conventional wisdom is just roll with five for cohesiveness' sake. And y'all seem to not only be rotating, but the rotation seems to be expanding instead of contracting toward the conventional five. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, we're just still not where we want to be yet. It's really that simple. And so I know the gel part, but we also have guys that wear down a little bit. So I'm trying to keep guys as fresh as possible and at the same time find the best five. And so for us, I think there's a little bit too. You don't know what you got until you get some of those young guys in the game. Michael Carroll's got to play. Will's got to play. And we don't know how good they are or what they can do until they get in the football game. So we've been kind of falling back on that a little bit and seeing, you know, that challenge, that competition, see if that can spur in a little bit more production.
Let's go to Katie, second row on the left.
One of the things y'all told us back in camp, why Ty won the job, is how well he'd done protecting the football through four games. He doesn't have a turnover. Just what have you seen from him in that area? And what's kind of the balance of the quarterback if you wanted to be aggressive and make plays but also be smart with the ball?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a really, really tiny sliver in great quarterback play and understanding, like, when to be aggressive with the football, when to take care of the ball, and that's the whole thing. And that's what Ty's still working on. I think he's doing a really good job. And, you know, you'd rather work a guy back from that and have him make the aggressive throws and you know, teach him those reads versus the guy that turns the ball over. So I think I know Ty has that aggression in him and has the ability to make those throws. So I just think he's operating at a really high level. He had one play. I thought the boot, obviously, early on the first drive back to his right was by far, you know, Ty would tell you the same thing. It was the worst play he had all night. And, you know, luckily it didn't get in their hands. But, you know, for him, I thought that actually, like, dialed him in for the rest of the game. He's like, okay, I know what I got to do. And he made all those plays. He made all the reads that he needed to and didn't put the ball in jeopardy.
Go to Alex, back row on the right.
A little bit of a two-part question. What do you think of Jam coming back? And then also, how do you get more explosive runs out of that running game that's consistently getting you 2 and 3 yards, but how do you get more out of that group?
Yeah, first of all, with Jam, his presence just at practice and, you know, maturity, just, you know, the work ethic that he brings was a huge part of the preparation part for the week, which is the most important part. And, you know, on game day, obviously, when he's back there, he had a couple pressure pickups in the backfield where he was just so solid and knew exactly what the check was going to be. And I thought overall we did a really good job protecting Ty, and Jam's a huge part of that. So obviously, you know, clutch play at the end, but then running the ball, I just thought he did a good job, you know, dimpling for 4 or 5 yards at a time, you know, when there wasn't huge creases in there, you know, and we just got to do a better job finding ways to get him more of those one-on-one, you know, matchups where the ball's on the corner, balls on a safety. I think we got 4 of those in the game. You know, you're looking to try to get 8 to 9 of those a game where you can get the football on a secondary player so that they can break a tackle and get into the open. And that's really it. That's, we got to get through and get 6-on-6 on the inside somehow with our big bodies and then find a way to get Jam on those DBs.
Go to Ryan, front and left.
Hey, Coach, I'm going to stick with the offensive line theme. It looks like Georgia was doing a lot of twisting, and the communication was pretty solid.
Yeah.
What'd you see?
Yeah, just that. And I think that was a huge part of it, big emphasis. You know, they do a good job, very creative scheme at Georgia. And so we knew that was going to be a huge challenge up front, is being able to communicate, you know, especially not just the pressures, but the twists, as you mentioned, up front. And I didn't feel like even in the run game, I think we had three negative yardage runs or 0 gains. So, you know, we weren't getting hit in the backfield, both throwing the football and running. And it always starts with the communication piece. And I thought, not necessarily the first part of the preparation the first week, but I thought, like, as the week went this last week, I thought they really dialed it in and did a good job. And, you know, it all starts with Parker. He does such a phenomenal job of that.
Coach Joe. Sorry, middle left.
Coach, sticking with the same theme and running the football, you used a lot of screens and misdirections and kind of rollouts. Can you talk about using those and getting creative to kind of extend the running game, finding other ways to get your guys the ball in space?
Yeah, as always, I don't think it's, you know, anything earth-shattering, but you get the defense having to run to the football, stress them out, get them moving to the sideline a little bit, and then you try to get vertical on them. And I thought we did a good job of stretching them and moving them around. And to Georgia's credit, you know, they did their integrity on the inside remained the same. You know, on some defenses, they'll compromise, and they held up pretty strong in the second half on that.
Right behind there, Travion.
Can you talk about, from an offensive line standpoint, not giving up any pressure, sacks, or anything like that? Can you just talk about what that does for the confidence of the group moving forward as Alabama moves forward in the SEC play?
Yeah, that's you said it well, confidence. You know, when they execute against a defense like Georgia, to all the different pressures and stunts and looks that they got, because you know, I thought Georgia kind of emptied the clip a little bit as far as like looks and pressures and things that they did, and the guys responded. We drug up everything. We were pulling out clips from 2022 Ohio State game and anything that we thought we could possibly see, you know, we put out there at practice, and the guys were ready. And so I think moving forward, they know they can make the adjustments on the sideline, which is probably as important as anything, because there's going to be a look that we haven't practiced, and they did a really nice job of that.
Second row on the left.
Coach, I'm sorry to disappoint. It's not an offensive line question, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that breakaway play that Lazier made at the end of the first half, a situation where at first it looked like he could have been dead to rights behind the sticks in the middle of the field, instead gets 20-plus yards and gets out of bounds, helps keep that drive going in the way that he did.
Yeah, those are the kind of plays you got to have in a big game, obviously. You know, you want to get the touches to the right guys, and Lazier is a guy that, you know, is a missed tackle force machine, you know, and that's one of the things we look at every week, are who are the guys getting touches, who are the guys breaking tackles, because when it's not perfect, which it wasn't on that play, you need a guy that's going to somehow make the play for you, and Lottie is, since the day I've seen him running around out here, he's definitely got a knack to do that. So he's got good ball security. He plays through contact. He does not expect to be tackled. He's more powerful than people, you know, anticipate. And he's just a really, really sudden guy. So he did a great job. Had a great game. Made some really good special teams plays, too.
Thank you, Coach.
You bet. Have a good day.
All right, good stuff from Ryan Grubb on Monday during his press conference ahead of the Vanderbilt game. The Alabama offensive coordinator thought of the first half, the plan they had for Georgia was outstanding. Struggled a little bit to move the ball consistently in the second half, but the 24 points that they got in the first half held up, and Bama got the win. All right, it's 10:48 here on the Gary Harris Show. Lunch is right around the corner, and I'm going to tell you where I'm headed today for lunch. I've got some lunch plans at Decades Pub and Grub downtown at Timberson Square. Man, I gotta get you. Chase is always working because I have this window before I go to the TV station, but he's here, so I can't get him to any of my great lunch spots. But I'm telling you, the food at Decades, it's a next level. Cliff Clark, the owner, and his kitchen staff, man. Oh, that Angry Bird, I got to tell you, that is a grilled chicken sandwich like you have never experienced. The steak and cheese, all of their deli meat is boar's head, which is the best in the business. It's not just a sandwich at Decades Pub and Grub. It's something special downtown at Timberson Square. All right, we're going to come back. I know a couple phone calls came through that we were not able to get to during the interview with Ryan Grubb. If you want to call us back on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904, you're welcome to do so. 205-342-9904. Give us a call, and we'll close out the show with one more segment before we turn it over to Kristen Miller. We'll be back after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're going to talk Alabama Vanderbilt. We'll do it with Mike Dettillier. We'll take your scores on a Southern Owl House score prediction day. We'll talk to Hugh Millen, former NFL quarterback. He's going to share some thoughts on this Alabama offense and a lot more. Starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in
for his clients. Remember M for money and Mesrano.
If it has a logo on it, call me 205-800-8000.
The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, and online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant Denny Stadium. Live reports from our Bama beat reporter Wyatt Fulton. Game day picks from the top games. And this year, special insight each week from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square. Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game.
Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at HIMS.com/radio. That's HIMS.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today. Just a small chance of a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today 86, the low tonight 66. Tomorrow partly sunny. The chance of a shower stays very small. The high 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship. Home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:54, Major League Baseball. Wild card matchups get underway today in the American League. These are all best two out of three. Detroit's at Cleveland, and Boston is at New York. Red Sox and Yankees, how about that? National League, San Diego is at Chicago, and Cincinnati is at Los Angeles. These are all best two out of three. They play today, tomorrow, and if needed, they'll play on Thursday before they get into the divisional playoffs. All right, let's jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline, and Joseph is going to be our final caller of the program. Hey, Joseph.
What's up, Gary? How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Man, just watching the Georgia game, I'm proud of the Tide in the first half. But second half, man, I wish we could have scored something. You know, dumb, because that makes 2 years in a row that we didn't score. But overall, I'm happy with the win. I take what I can take. But, I mean, but I wish we really could get that cleaned up in the second half. And that way we could at least score something. That way we could have made a little bit more comfortable win because it was a little bit uncomfortable, Gary, just to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know what? The win is the bottom line, Joseph, and they got it, and they had a dominant first half, I thought, offensively, and they kind of hung on in the second half, but, you know, made plays that they had to make defensively, the fourth down stop, and then, of course, at the end of the game, going for it on fourth and five and dialing up a play from Simpson to Jam Miller to salt it away, man. It's it was a gutsy.
Yeah, you know, like I know, Gary, that freshman receiver don't miss it. We're behind.
That's true, but you know, Ryan Williams dropped one too. Hit him right hands. But no, listen, the Georgia drop, you know, at that point in the game, if Georgia hits that play, I feel like they probably would have won the game. But he didn't make the play. And, you know, these kind of games, it comes down to – sometimes it just comes down to good luck or bad luck. And Alabama got good luck in that situation. And they had bad luck early in the game and overcame it and still scored on that drive. But those kind of games, man, they come down to one or two plays. And fortunately, Alabama got out of there. It's a W now on the schedule, and you move on to the next one.
Yeah, I don't know if Ryan Grubb emptied the jug totally on Georgia. I kind of would like to think that he had one more drive left in him if he needed it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think Ryan Grubb is doing a really good job, and I think that there's a possibility that he's going to have a little wrinkle for every team that he needs a wrinkle for going forward. So excited about it. Go ahead.
The only thing I found a problem is Ty Simpson went to throwing his passes high for some reason in the second half. And the first half, he was, like, dead on like a laser. But the second half, man, it was like he just went cold.
Well, you know, Georgia, you know, they're a good team. And they got lit up in the first half. And you know, just like last year, we saw them come out with some resolve. But both times, Alabama got the win, and that's what's important. Hey, thank you, Joseph. Appreciate you, man. That's going to close it out for the Gary Harris Show. And we appreciate you for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We'll have the NASCAR report with Matt Coulter. That ought to be fun. Boy, Chase Elliott sure stole one this past Sunday. Huge win for Chase, and also we'll have Larry the Music Man, and he's going to be talking about one-hit wonders, and hopefully we'll have you as well. That's tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. All right, the Miller's Edge is coming up next. I'm on TV tonight with the local sports and with Rodney Orr for Tider Insider TV at 6:30 on WVUA 23. For Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. Have a great afternoon, and stay tuned for the Miller's Edge.